Well, it's good to be here. We had some water problems at our place this morning. Our well at our place didn't pump water anymore. And we had to give our cattle water another way. At least they're getting water. But, you know, I was thinking on the way up here, you know, we look at this water and how vital it is to our bodies. But hallelujah for the water of life. The water of life. What would we do without Jesus Christ? We would not be here. Well, we might be here. We might be here. There's people, many churches filled this morning that don't have the water of life, and the churches are filled. And I think of churches like Joel Osteen, and I'll mention his name, and there are many others. There are thousands of people, probably the biggest church that is in the United States, and maybe in the world, as far as locally goes. But is the water of life? Are they uplifting Jesus Christ? And whenever you uplift the Lord Jesus Christ, it always comes into play that our vile, these bodies are vile. It says, "Who shall change our vile bodies that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body?" And these bodies are sinful. And we're thankful this morning that we have the Holy Spirit in us, and that the Holy Spirit merges in with our spirit, and that our spirit and the Holy Spirit are one, and that we have the witness of the Spirit within our hearts. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, because what would we do? We wouldn't be here. We couldn't have the life within us without without Jesus Christ. And I was thinking about that actually in the way down here. And in Revelations it says, "And he has showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse." And that's the wonderful part. When we get to glory, there shall be no more curse. You know, the more we're thinking our well ran dry, probably. There was what happened yesterday morning, the morning before, when I went out to the pickup truck, the well was running. I could hear it running, and I thought there must be a water leak somewhere, but there wasn't. But it just didn't. What I'm thinking is needs to go deeper. The neighbor that used to own this place just lives across the road, so to speak, and there's a little pond in his place, and he says that there was never that dry. He's lived there for 33 years, and the pond has never been that low. So we think it ran dry. But we could put there's casing lower. We could put the pump down lower, and probably there would be water there. But you know, with Jesus Christ, the lower he takes us, there's always water there, isn't there? It doesn't matter how low the Lord takes us. And you know, and I feel almost bad saying this because I don't feel adequate saying this, because I've never been taken that low that I've been in prison for years and years and felt like I've been desolated and not knowing that anybody's praying for me and tortured. And there are people like that in the world today. And yet, the Lord Jesus, we know the Lord is there. There might not be the feeling of the Lord there, but we know he is there. You can't go anywhere without the Lord being there, and that's a wonderful promise, isn't it? There's no way anybody can take the Holy Spirit out of our hearts and out of our lives, because the Lord is there, and he is powerful. We know that we can instigate within ourselves that the Holy Spirit would leave us. We know that. We can sin. We can voluntarily sin. We can voluntarily walk the other way, the way that the Lord doesn't want us to walk. And the Holy Spirit will leave us. We know there are those people that say, when somebody is born, they cannot be unborn. But that is not true for the Christian life. And that's kind of a burden, has been a burden on my heart. But people take natural instances and natural things, say natural things like that, and try to bring them into spiritual. But you can't do that with everything. And that's one thing you can't do it. The Bible says, beware lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. We can depart. It is possible for us to depart. The Bible says that if it were possible, in the last days we deceive the very elect. And we're thankful that we have the Word of God, the Word of life right here. And that's wonderful. And you can, we can buy it. We can't buy it. It says here in Isaiah, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in its fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David, and the everlasting covenant that we have with us today, now, is Jesus Christ. And there's a verse in Revelation that I'd like to read here. This is one of the verses that, when I got right with God, when I got born again, when I knew God, when I knew that God, my spirit, and God's spirit became one, I don't know, I opened my Bible, and I'll never forget, I read these verses. It says, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. You know, when Jesus Christ comes again, he is going to come in a different way than what he came the first time. Jesus is not my buddy, and I'm not his kid. And in a lot of musical displays in our day, we have that setting. I was there in a certain place where they were playing music. It was supposed to be a concert, and they said, "You can lay your burdens down. We're having a party tonight. You can lay your burdens down tonight. Come, joy, be joyful." When I came to Jesus Christ, it was not like that. It was not like that. Either I'm serving the wrong Jesus, or they're serving the wrong Jesus. The Bible does say in the last days there's going to be much deception. And we have that in our day. There's a lot of deception. It's horrible. You know, the greatest enemy of the Church of Jesus Christ is religion. Jonathan actually read that the other week, in, I should maybe read that in Matthew 11. But the greatest deception in our day is religion. If Satan can get us to believe that we're right with God and we're not, if Satan can, you know, there's such a thing today as Christian adultery. You know, you can die today. A person can die, and they have a funeral for him, and they say how he went to heaven, how all the good deeds that he did. Well, I'd like to say this. I wasn't going to really, but you know, if I die and I have a funeral, I want you to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's the only reason that I'm here. That's the only thing that's worthwhile talking about, is the blood of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the power of God. Because it's only the power of God that can make us live an upright life. And I'm not saying that I'm there. What I wanted to do this morning, what I was going to preach about, and my message got kind of detoured here, but if we make a perfect circle up here, perfect, and talk about the holiness of God. God is whole. He is pure. But he is whole. Holiness. And if we would, what I wanted to do, and I don't know, maybe I should still. Everybody, if you could give me what comes to your mind when I talk about, when we say God, the word God, you know, Jesus Christ says he was the express image. He was the perfect image. He was the sole person. I should read that in Hebrews. If I can find it here. Hebrews says He was hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, he was the perfect imprint of God. He was the sole expression. He is the radiance of the divine. And that was our Lord Jesus Christ. And I appreciate the message. I don't know if you remember the message that Jonathan preached a few weeks ago when he went into how Jesus reacted to certain situations. Well, that's a perfect example of the radiance of the divine God that we serve. Now, maybe I will still do this. Is there anybody in the crowd that would mind to do some writing for me up here and knows how to spell better and can make it so you can actually read the writing? Is there anybody that would volunteer to do that? Because I would like to get the crowd participation here and your participation. And when you think, what do you think of when you think of God? Like the character of God, like long-suffering and mercy and wrath. Well, those are three things that I think of, but there are many more things that we think of when we think of the character of God. And I wish we could write them down here. If somebody would be willing to do that for me. Sure, go, come ahead. I always wish my last name was good, but I was never good enough for that. So. Okay, you want to write long suffering? You need to start up here. I'm not sure how long the list is going to be. So, but if we could if that circle could be perfect, exactly perfect. I think of in circles and triangles and boxes, I don't know. If it could be, that would be the perfect resemble. Could we somehow resemble the perfectness of God? Is there anybody? Yeah, you can write. You want to write long-suffering up there because God is long-suffering. Is there any others that you would have? Anybody? Anything else? Righteous? Yeah, that's right. Our God is very righteous. He is. God is always right.
Mercy.
That's right. Mercy. Merciful. Mercy. Yeah, you can. Yeah, just start over here. We might not have enough room up here. But... Healer. Yeah. Wow. The Bible says that our God is a consuming fire. I think we should have wrath up there somewhere. Any more? We should have up there. Way more than what I thought of, so. So when we come before God, this is the kind of being that we come before. Wow. Well, is there, now you can have your seat if you want. I don't know if there's any more, but there probably is more. Actually, I do have a list of some in a book here, but of different ones that different solitariness of God, the decrees of God, the immutability of God, power of God. We've got most of them there, I think. That grace of God, our God is so diverse. Isn't He a diverse God in many ways? When we come to God, we come before a being that is objective, you could call that. It is objective. If you go in Romans chapter 1, when I'm up here, I can't think very good, so I have to think where my books are here. Romans chapter 1, I think it's Romans 1, I don't want, yeah. There's a phrase there, it says, vain in their imaginations, 21. Let me read Well, let's start at 18 there. That's interesting. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Holding truth in unrighteousness. And then we know that we have that very much so in our day. There's supposed to be truths that they're not truth. But you know, if a lie, I'm sure you've heard this phrase before, if a lie is spoken of as truth long enough, it is believed as truth. And that's really, I'm glad we have the Bible. We have this book that we can go by, because if we wouldn't, as generations come and generations go, it would be distorted. And sometimes I wonder how much of what I believe is distorted because of how much it has been distorted. If we could take ourselves back to the 1800s, let's say, the early 1900s, when there was the way ladies walked down the street was not allowed to be dressed like that at the beach. They would have been arrested. That's how much it's changed. It's changed tremendously. And I heard a man preach in 1955. He preached, and he was saying how corrupt the world is. And I would think back in 1955, it was pretty good. I mean, compared to now. But we compare things, you know, and we forget to live. I forget sometimes that I need to lift up this book more so in my own life, in my own dealings with people. And anyways, sorry, I got off track. Hold the truth in righteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and foolish, and their foolish heart was darkened, because they, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And verse 24, God gave them up unto uncleanness. 25, he changed the truth of God. They changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. And we know the rest of the stories there of how the world is today. But vain in their imaginations. It is the, when we think of God, we need to think of him as something that we cannot devise in our own minds who he is. Now, when we think of being subjective, that is something that exists in the mind and belongs to the person's thinking. But when we have something that's objective, it's outside of the mind and independent of the mind. We all have a mind, and we like to think how God is. But my mind, I cannot grasp this in my own mind, really. We try to grasp it, but that is the perfect holiness of God. Now, I should have done more studying, but it's been too nice weather, you know. But I think holiness, and I shouldn't make any, sorry, I don't mean to make any excuses, but the word holiness, I believe, comes from the word whole. And God is whole. He is complete, 100% complete. Not 99.9% complete, not 101.2% complete, but he's 100% complete. Now, if I make another circle here, I make a circle, but I shouldn't have made this. Well, the circle is not. But if I would make the circle in this way, go like this and like this, like this. That's how mankind looks. He is not complete. He is not whole. He has maybe some faults here and maybe some sins here, and I'm talking, we can talk about the ungodly, but we need to talk about the Church of Jesus Christ and where are we at? We need revival in our day more than ever has been needed ever in the entire history of the of mankind. And when we have revival, we start confessing these things, and these things come out. You know, they come out. And we partake. The Church of Jesus Christ then partakes more of the holiness of God. More of who, which one of us doesn't want more of the holiness of God? You know, Isaiah said, "Holy, holy, holy." When he let's read that in Isaiah 6. You know, he said that. You never ever see in the Bible that I've ever read. Maybe you've read it. If you've read it, you can tell me. But that the Bible says that God is love, love, love. It never says that he is mercy, mercy, mercy. But he does say, the Bible does say, as he said, woe is me. That's what he said there in Isaiah 6. When he seen the holiness of God, he said, woe is me. And if you would go into Peter, Peter says, what does Peter say there? I should know these. I've as a young boy or young Christian, I've memorized some of these verses and I forget them. But 1 Peter 1:17 says, if I can find it here. And if you call, it talks about holiness here. Listen to this. It says, But as he which hath called you is holy, be ye holy in all manner of conversation, in all your walk of life. And we can help each other along the way. That's why we have church life. That's why we have brothers to help each other. It's not a negative thing. It's a positive thing. But because it is written, be holy for I am holy. And then in verse 7 it says, if ye call on the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know you're not redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold, and our walk of life, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And we realize that when we look at this, that we need to fear God. We need to fear God. Someday, the Apostle Paul said, Romans 2:15, you're going to be judged by my gospel, he said. I think it's Romans 2:15. I should maybe read it. I haven't. Find it here quickly. Romans 2:15, I think. Sorry, it's Romans 2:16. In the day when... Well, we should read more stuff here, I guess, or more scripture for talks about the Gentiles here. But he says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. And here we have something, a being here that is much greater than our minds can conceive. We can try to think it up in our mind. We can try and have it subjective. But unless we can get an objective view of God, and the only way really we can get an objective view of God is if His Spirit is in our heart, in our life, and we're merged in with His Spirit, and we are, if you're born again, you are. And this book here, this is a precious, special book. There is no book under, as you know, I don't have to say this, there is no book under heaven. There's no name under heaven whereby men must be saved through Jesus, but Jesus Christ. And there's no book that will proclaim it except this book. And you know that. You can read your Bible, you can read it, and then you can read it again, and there's new life. I don't know of any other book that you can do that with. But here we have God, and I know I keep coming back to this because this is what I want you to get. the greatness of God and who we are. And when we come before God, we don't come before God as we are his kids and he is my buddy. You know, music has taken the Christendom down as far as religion, because where can I find this here? I know I wrote it down somewhere here. I thought I did. But the gospel is never about performance. And the gospel is never about entertainment. I'm not up here trying to perform. And I'm not up here trying to entertain anybody. But the amazing thing is, when a music group gets up in front of a stage, many times, I'm not saying all of them, don't get me wrong, please, but in many cases, they're trying to perform. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is not about performance. The gospel of Jesus Christ never will be about performance. And when you think of a holy God here, you think of the wholeness of God, we think, woe is me. And that's what he thought. That's what we should think. For I am undone. We see ourselves as unholy. We see ourselves, when we come to God, we see ourselves that way. But if we don't see ourselves that way, if I don't see myself that way, it could be possible that I need a new revelation of Jesus Christ in my heart and in my life. It could just be possible. And it says here, I am a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King and Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he hath taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand. Let me read that again. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. And isn't that, as we think of ourselves, and myself, and we think of the church at large, in the country we live in, how the church is, it seems to me, and I'm not talking about particularly this congregation here. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, I think, and I'm sure you do too, much bigger than these, what's happens in these walls here. But we have the church at large not understanding, and, you know, we could probably, somebody that's a teacher, and we have teachers here, in the church, could probably take each of these here and have a whole teaching message on each one of these of how God represents in the Bible light, how he represents living, how he represents wrath, the consuming fire, and self-existing. And how he's eternal, and he's a bread of life, and he's all that in one. And we need more of that in our lives, don't we? We need each of these more. We need more truth. We need more goodness. We need more healing. It might not be that every person in the congregation might need more healing, but there might, as a whole, there's different things that I need here. I might need more purity in my life than you do, because you have exceeded, you know, in that area. But that's the church. It kind of even comes down to the church and church life and how we can help each other in those ways. I'd like to close with a verse, actually. In John, I think like John 17:3, it says, "And this is life eternal, that they might," probably I say this often, a verse that really sticks out to me, I say it's the most important verse in the Bible, or one of them, but anyway, it's John 17:3 says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." There's many things in this verse here. Life eternal. It is something that is present tense in our hearts and in our lives, in our hearts. And when I say our hearts, our spirits, it's present tense. The eternal life is present tense, and it's a different kingdom. We are in a different kingdom than the kingdom of this world. And there's so many, there's so many things that could be said about the kingdom of this world. And what is highly esteemed among men is abomination to God, the Bible says. And when we come to God, our hearts change, don't they? We really change. We don't like to see the things that we used to. But you know, as we go on in life, and I'm talking out of experience. When I got born again, there's things that I was into that I hated. Just overnight it happened. My eyes didn't even like to see it anymore. But as you go on in life, Satan likes to mask himself and come to you in a way that, you know, like we could put things in here like materialism. You know, we could put things in here like fashion. What else could we put in here? Lots of things that we could put in here that make man unholy. But the more we know Jesus Christ, the more of this unholiness will be purged from us. And we need that. That's why I say we need that. We need revival in our day. God, give us revival, O Lord. And I say that about myself. Eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. This is all about, another thing we could say, this is all about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, I think I said this before, and if it didn't, I'm going to say it again, was every one of these. Jesus Christ was every one of these. There's not one of these, and more. I'm sure there's things that we didn't think of that Jesus Christ was. And here we are in our vile bodies, and we're glad that they're going to be changed like in his glorious body. It's amazing. Hallelujah for the Spirit in us. We can't, my mouth cannot convey to you the glory of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ in my own heart. And if you don't have it, if you don't have it here today, you can get it. You can get it. You know, Jesus said, "Don't fear him that can destroy the body only, but fear him that has power to destroy both body and soul in hell." The Bible, Jesus said to certain religious people, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And these people were casting out demons, and they were doing, what were they doing there in Matthew 7? You know the story. It's not just, yeah. And Jesus cares about each one of us. But if you don't know God, if you are here and you don't know Jesus Christ, and you have some other things in your life here, maybe things in your life, but not just, you know that your spirit is not one with God's spirit. The Bible does not promise you life eternal. The Bible promises you damnation and hell forever and ever. That's what the Bible promises you. And me, if we're not right with God. Now, we would like to assume that everybody is right with God in a crowd, don't we? We like to assume. I'm often amazed at how we hear preachers preach, and they preach as if everyone is born again. But I can't do that. I can't do that. I don't know. God only knows. I don't know. I'm not here to judge anyone if they're right with God or they're not here this morning. But if you're not right with God, you can get right with God. There's one way to get right with God, and that is to come to Jesus Christ. You can come to Jesus Christ and get to know him, and he can be your father, and you can be his son. But Jesus Christ is coming in a different way than what he lived here on this world, in this earth. He lived as a man, but he was also divine. But he's going to come in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. He's going to come to judge the world. And he's going to come to judge me and you and everyone else in the world. And he knows the hairs of our head. He knows everything. Everything that we're trying to hide in our heart. God knows everything. And I'm glad he does. Wow, thank you, Lord. Because I want him to know everything about me. God help me. God help us, because, you know, when Jesus comes again, I believe the Bible talks about people wanting rocks or rocks to fall on them and hiding in caves. And, you know, when Jesus comes, that'll be quite the day. I can't imagine what it's going to be like when the holiness of God, Jesus, which is the imprint, he's a perfect imprint of God. When Jesus comes again and actually takes his church home, and we will have new bodies, and our bodies will be redeemed. Now we're waiting for our bodies to be redeemed. The miracle of the Holy Spirit in our heart, in our spirit, in earthen bodies that are actually capable of sinning. That's a miracle when we think of the God of the universe. Wow. Just look around in the fall and see the beauty of the fall, and wow, the beauty of God. It's amazing. So may God be praised. Lord bless.